Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
In John chapter 10, we read about the thief. And we see that the thief is a robber. And in John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Then he goes on to say in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly." Now, these are contrasted, the thief and the shepherd. Today, what we'll do is simply study the thief, and then in the following broadcast, we'll study the shepherd. The thief represents the devil, and the thief represents not only the devil, but his followers who work for him. Jesus said in verse 8, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." So there are others as well, besides just the devil himself. These thieves are mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So notice, the devil himself, Satan, is transformed into an angel of light, but he has false apostles that work with him, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, so they're hard to distinguish. They're thieves. They're robbers. They transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, okay? But their end is according to their works. God knows. Now, you can spot the thief, because he does not come in by the door. Jesus Christ is the door, the Bible says. In verse 7, Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." Okay? So the thief doesn't come in by the door in verse 2. He comes in another way, see? And that's where you get, that's one indication that you're dealing with a thief, see? The thief gets in by another way. Now, some of these other ways include Mormonism. You could drive by a Mormon building and look at it like we have here in Corpus Christi. You look at that and you think, well, that's a fine-looking church building. It's well-manicured, good building. You see the people and you think, wow, nice upstanding citizens. Had recently a candidate for the presidency of the United States. You look at that and you think, well, these fine fellows here. But listen, they don't come in by the door. Jesus is not the door. They'll make mention of Jesus Christ, of course. His name is written there on the building. But if you get in and actually study the religion, you find that it's a religion of works, not a religion of salvation by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It's not the door. They use the name, but Jesus is vastly different there. He's a created God among the Mormons, not the Son of God, not God manifest in the flesh. He's not God Almighty, see? Major difference. Doesn't appear to be a major difference at first, but remember, they're transformed as the apostles of Christ. They're transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Jehovah's Witnesses are another good way that the thief gets in. Again, Jesus Christ and Jehovah's Witnesses is a lesser God. They mentioned as the Savior, but truly it's Jehovah, you see, not Jesus Christ. And as a lesser God, he's not God Almighty. He's not God manifest in the flesh, you see. And the teachings on hell are changed. After all, if it's the devil's religion, he's going to try to convince you that hell is not real and so forth. So you have to be careful because the name is used and the people dress well and present themselves well. If you see them out knocking on doors, they're not dressed immodestly and they're not dressed unprofessionally. They're dressed very well and portray themselves as having very good morals. But I'm telling you, the thief gets in by another way, but he represents himself to be the apostle of Christ. Roman Catholicism, another excellent example of the other way. Again, the name Jesus Christ is mentioned, and I'm not saying that there aren't some Catholics who are saved, but the truth of the matter is, if you simply go by the dictates of the religion, Jesus Christ is converted into a wafer is converted into Jesus Christ at Mass and held up where people bow their head before that wafer and profess my Lord and my God, to now what they believe is something that has been transformed from bread into the literal body of the Lord Jesus Christ, re-sacrificed and re-offered that day for your consumption and salvation. There's nothing, no truth in that. No, that's a catechism. That's not biblical truth. It's another way, you see. It's a way the thief uses to get in. Jesus is the door, plain and simple. And when you come in by these other religions, you've got to be very, very careful because that's the entrance of the thief. See, he's coming in another way. He's coming up over the wall. He won't come in by the door. Islam, science, philosophy, all these are other ways. Any way other than by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the door, okay? That's how you spot that thief. Now, the thief stole the kingdom of heaven from Adam. If you look back in Genesis chapter 1, Adam and was given dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, you see, and all the beasts of the earth and the cattle. He had a kingdom. He was the king. He had dominion. But when he sinned, he fell, and the devil usurped that dominion. And then, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, the devil attempted to steal not only the kingdom of heaven, but the kingdom of God from Jesus Christ when he tempted him in the wilderness. If you go back, into Luke chapter 4, you'll see this temptation that goes on in the wilderness by the devil. And look what he does at a time of Jesus' weakness in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Look what the devil says. And he's not lying here, the devil, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5, taking him up into an high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. And there's truth in that. The devil does have all the power of these kingdoms, and he does have all the glory of these kingdoms. The Bible says he is the God of this world. Okay? So he says to Jesus, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Jesus got out of that temptation because he knew the truth, and he professed and proclaimed the truth, used it in his defense. You see, the devil is currently the owner of all these kingdoms. He is the God of this world, and he's going to be deposed. That's why the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24 is called the end of the world. It's not an explosion. It's not a nuclear destruction. It's just the end of Satan ruling over these kingdoms and Jesus Christ becoming the ruler. You see this in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Jesus Christ takes these things that are entitled to him and waits till they're given to him by his Father. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. See, they weren't until Jesus is coming back, and then when he comes back, they become his kingdoms, and the devil is dethroned. You see that? Very, very important for you to understand these things, because there are people that will lead you to believe that Jesus Christ is ruling from heaven now, and he's not. He is in my life, and he is still King of kings and Lord of lords, but the God of this world is the devil. Let me tell you something. He's going to steal the throne absolutely in the tribulation in order to get the world to worship him. All right, and you see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and particularly verse 4. He is called the son of perdition, the man of sin, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. And then what he does is he sits himself down in the temple of God in verse 4, and he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, you see that? That he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Well, he's a great usurper. He tries to get the whole world to worship him during the tribulation. Now, you've got to understand something. This is the thief, you see. But people don't recognize him today. They worship him today and don't even realize that's what they're doing. Now, this thief is implicated in the death of Jesus Christ. He has the power of death. When you read about him in Hebrews chapter 2, when you read about him in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says about Jesus Christ, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," that is Jesus Christ, "also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. Well, if the devil has the power of death and Jesus Christ died, then you see the devil is implicated in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a bad cat. You know, the devil is going to kill tribulation martyrs by the thousands, or maybe even by the millions during the tribulation. And we're told about this in the book of Revelation. I know I'm going quickly, but there's just so much to say about this matter. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, verse 9 for the context, the Lord's talking to the church of Smyrna, and he says, "I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." So they're going to die. He's going to kill them. You're going to find those souls under the altar in Revelation 6:9. "He opened the fifth seal. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held." Tribulation martyrs killed by the devil, see? The devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. Be thou faithful unto death. And it's a particular death whereby they are beheaded. It's not strange today that you're seeing beheadings, okay? That's not something that you were used to 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but it's going on now, and it's just a precursor to what's going to be going on to a great degree during the tribulation. So the thief, see, is a thief. He stole the kingdom of heaven from Adam. He attempted to steal the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God from Jesus Christ when he tempted him in the wilderness. He's going to steal the throne in the tribulation in order to get the world to worship him as God. He was implicated in the death of Jesus Christ. He'll kill tribulation martyrs by the thousands during the tribulation. And you know what? He's going to attempt to destroy Jerusalem and Israel. That's all over the Bible, but particularly in Revelation chapter 12, you see this. He is the great red dragon of Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Israel is the woman that's clothed with the sun and had the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's Israel. The dragon is, in verse 9, the serpent, that old serpent, the devil, and Satan, who deceived the whole world, okay? Now, what does he do? Well, he attempts to, first of all, devour the child of Israel as soon as it's born. That's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was then taken up to heaven. He's going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And then what happens is that the woman, who is Israel, flees to the wilderness, where she has a place prepared of God that he should feed her there, 1,260 days. That's the length of 3.5 years, the worst part of the tribulation. Michael and his angels are going to fight against the dragon, and they're going to prevail. The dragon is going to be thrown down to the earth, and he'll just have a short period of time here. And he is going to persecute the woman in verse 13, and he's going to cast out of his mouth the water as a flood to drown the woman, to destroy the woman, but the earth is going to help her and open her mouth and swallow up the flood. And this devil makes war with the remnant of her seed, that is, with the woman's seed, with the Jews. He's trying to destroy Jerusalem. He's trying to destroy Israel. And he's going to fail. Thank God. Revelation chapter 20 says that he's captured by an angel and he's chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years while Jesus Christ rules on this earth. But then at the end of that 1,000 years, he's going to make one more attempt to destroy Israel. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 7, after the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and should be tormented day and night forever and ever. There you go. So he gets chained in that bottomless pit. He comes out to destroy the beloved city. His enemies that are with him are smoked in a great fire, and he's cast in the lake of fire for eternity. Thank God. Thank God. Now let me tell you something. Knowing that the thief attacks the Lord and Israel relentlessly, okay? Don't think for a minute that he won't come after you as a child of God. Do you understand that? Don't think for a minute that he won't come after you as a child of God. Notice, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, what he comes to do. The thief comes to steal. The thief comes to kill. And the thief comes to destroy. You say, well, what's he going to steal with me? I'm a child of God. I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll try to steal your faith. That's right. Listen, we have children that are trained up in the way of the Lord. Their parents train them. They come to church and they learn Bible verses and they learn salvation and they learn hymns and they learn about Jesus Christ and they know Jesus Christ and they go off to college, they go off to school, and you know what happens? They lose their faith in the words of God. They lose their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What's going on in college? Well, you've got a godless society almost these days. I realize on college campuses that there are Christians. I realize that there are professors who are saved. But the overall community, the general movement, is away from God. And what happens oftentimes is young children grow up in the church and grow up in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, grow up saved, and then get off to college, and they go astray. They lose their faith. You know what's happened? The devil is there, and he steals their faith. He uses that community. He uses certain of those courses and certain of that teaching to cause a child to go astray. They get to believing evolution, and they get to believing people like Richard Dawkins, who hate God and hate the concept of God, really believe with all their heart that God is a religious concept, not true like we do. And so their faith is eroded, and suddenly they stray from God. And you think, how in the world could that have happened? Well, because there's a real devil, and his desire is to steal faith in the words of God from Christians. Let me tell you something else. He'll steal your fear of the Lord. Listen, it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And as long as you have wisdom and follow it, you have a good defense against the devil. But I'll tell you what happens is people lose their fear of the Lord. Today, the kids wear T-shirts that say, no fear, and as if that's braggadocious and something to be proud of. Listen, if you have no fear, then that's not to be proud of, because you need the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and without that, where are you going to be? Listen, the devil will attempt to steal that, because if he can erode your faith and he can erode your fear of God, then what he can do is he can completely convince you that you have no eternal life, that eternal life is not real, and that heaven is just a figment of a man's imagination, and that you need to live for the here and now. Let me tell you something else. He'll steal your money. That's right. Listen, when you get up here and you see these thieves in pulpits representing themselves to be apostles of Christ, when in fact they are apostles of the devil, they just transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. They transform themselves into the ministers of righteousness. They're after your pocketbook. They've got big egos. They've got a hunger for power. They want a lot of people come to their churches, and they want a lot of money coming to them. And they take it, and they're glad of it. They'll steal your money. Let me tell you something else that thief will do. He'll steal your children. As I've said, once they get off into school, they get off into college, oftentimes what happens, they become so deluded that the family breaks. Listen, he'll use drugs. He'll use alcohol. He'll use all kinds of things to take your children away. I look today, and there are children that are being used on behavior modification type medications. And, you know, all those things are to settle them down in this world of ADHD. I don't think there's all that's ever been studied about that has been determined. I know that we've visited with a man that does this evaluation for folks, and he said, you know, years ago we didn't have trouble with ADD and ADHD. Back in the days of rural society, things were much simpler. There weren't so many choices, and today there's lots of choices and lots of stimuli. The television and the video games and the telephone and the classrooms and the soccer schedule and the band schedule and the piano lessons and everything coming at these kids until they cannot process so much distraction. And then by on top of that, there's a very strange, highly processed food diet involving lots of sugars and highly refined carbohydrates that are changing children's behaviors. And so then the drugs are introduced. And you know something? I'm scared of those drugs. I begin to see what happens with the behavior modification, and I think, you know, I wonder if what those kids are hearing, what's going on in the brains of those kids when they get into that stuff. And I'm not saying just because your child may be on that you need to just stop immediately. And I think there just needs to be more understanding. I think there needs to be more things done to try to deal with the behavior. The reason is, listen, if these drugs are introducing things from the devil, that you're going to get some behaviors you wish you didn't have when these kids are in their teenage years and in their 20s. I just mean it. They're going to manifest some things, and you're going to think, what is going on here? And a lot of drugs, particularly the illegal ones, are being used to take those children away from God and away from their parents. Listen, the devil will steal your joy. The devil will steal your fellowship with God. He'll bring so many distractions in this world. He is the God of this world, that he'll get right in between you and God. You just won't even be able to function and find time to read and pray. You'll think, I just don't have time. Let me tell you, that old devil has just cranked this world system up until you think that's the way it is. But the problem is, you get so ruled by it. He'll even come in and he'll steal your mind. There are folks today that are saved, and I'll tell you what, their minds aren't thinking straight. The Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And fear is being marketed in great proportion today by conservative talk radio, by liberal media, by every advertising source nearly just to get you to buy their stuff. Fear-mongering has affected the minds of people. And I believe that behind all of it, you're going to see a great working of the devil. The thief comes to steal. Notice what else he comes to do. He comes to kill. Since he's a robber, he'll use violence if he has to. Remember what he did to Job. He stole Job's possessions, but he also killed Job's children. That's the thief. He's a killer. He has the power of death. Listen, he uses the threat of death to advance his religion. There are so many people today that are religious because they are afraid of the consequences if they don't go along with the religion of their family. They're scared to death, literally, that they would die if they didn't adhere to the terms of the religion. Listen, he used the Inquisition to try to root out Christianity, where maybe as many as 5 million Christians were martyred over a long period of time during the Inquisition. He used the Crusades to advance religion and destroy other nations, all in the name of God. Islam today is a killing religion. And this thing with suicide bombers and beheadings and all that, listen, it's just the nature. It is to instill fear. It is to instill terror. Why? He comes to kill. He comes to steal. And that's not all. The thief comes to destroy. His ultimate objective is to get you to spend an eternity in hell so he can destroy your soul. Listen, the devil is going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire, and he wants company. And so you listen to this science. You listen to this religious intimidation and manipulation and threat. You listen to the delusion of science and the delusion of philosophy that tells you there is no God. You listen to the voices that tell you to stay away from God. You listen to the drugs. You listen to the peers that draw you into alcohol, and guess what happens? They draw you away from the Lord Jesus Christ before you get saved. Today you think, oh, I wouldn't go and spend any time inside of the church. There's too many hypocrites in the church. Ha, 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 ha. And you laugh and carry on. And you know I'm not going to listen to that preacher. He sounds like a nut. Ha, 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 ha. Anything to convince you that this base preaching that you're hearing, that this foolish preaching that you're hearing, is and that this humble preaching that you're hearing is not worthy of your consideration. You ha 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 ha. Did you hear that preacher on the radio? Ho 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 ho. I wouldn't go to his church. Ha 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 ha. He's just a big hypocrite. Ho 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 ho. And then one day you die, and you wake up in hell, and you think, oh my God, that preacher was preaching foolishness, but he was preaching truth. That preacher was preaching wisdom, and I believed a lie, and the thief has destroyed my soul. And guess what? Too late for you. Too late for you. You'll go down by religion. You'll go down by foolishness. You'll go down by wisdom. You'll go down by science. You'll go down by philosophy. You go down any way that the devil wants to take you other than by the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to bring this message to a close. You've got to remember that our shepherd, Jesus Christ, has already triumphed over the thief, and he is going to ultimately destroy him. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, Colossians chapter 2 says that he made an open show, see, of these principalities, of these powers, of this great dominion of the thief. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, talking about his crucifixion. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, talking about his cross. What a great thing the Lord has already done. I'm going to tell you something. In Jesus Christ, you are absolutely assured of victory. That's right. It's like going into the game and not even having to worry about the outcome. You know you're going to win. So don't mess with the devil. Don't believe his lies. Don't let him steal from you. Don't let him kill you. Don't let him destroy you. Trust Jesus Christ. That's right. And then let him fend the devil off for you as you abide in his whole armor, called the whole armor of God. Do you understand? Whatever lie, whatever delusion you have been following that is not Jesus Christ, put it out of your mind. It's false. What you're hearing today is absolutely true. Don't be misled by the thief. You be led by the shepherd. Come to Jesus Christ. Trust him the best way you know how. Get in your Bible. Be clothed with the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. That's right. And you will be able to stand. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.